Then she saw the young man with the familiar way of carrying his head.
It can't be.
Rafa ducked among the people, working her way closer. From behind, he still looked familiar. She edged her way around a booth to get a side view and caught sight of his profile just an instant before he turned and looked her way. It was. Rafa opened her mouth to call out, just as he focused on her and paled. He spun on his heel and darted away. Rafa, startled, didn't move until someone touched her arm and pointed out that she was blocking the whole aisle.
Sorry.
It had to be the prince. It had to be Gerald, who was supposed to be dead, and he was afraid to see her. In one flash, she saw the whole pattern of deceit. Gerald wasn't dead. The man she had seen was the king, and he had come here to meet Gerald. King and prince. The phrase government in exile came to mind from her history studies. Lord Thornbuckle and Kevil Mahoney thought they'd defeated the king. He was planning an insurrection. Which meant that Ronnie and George, if they were still alive, were in mortal danger. Her skin tingled. She felt as preternaturally alert as she had that first night on the island. Did they know? Or were they about to walk into a conspiracy? She set off slowly in the direction Gerald had fled. She didn't expect to find him. She didn't even want to find him. But she wanted to see what that part of the city was like. Behind the street market, the streets resumed their normal, sedate appearance. Rafa noted that she was now on Bedrich, just crossing Cole. This was a residential area, five-story apartments lining both sides of the street, each with its own distinct facade. She saw a woman with three identical children in blue smocks. Tried not to let herself think clone. They were children. And when they grinned up at her with identical, sticky smiles, she couldn't help grinning back. This would get her nowhere but farther from the hotel. Gerald had been scared. He wouldn't come back to see if she was in the neighborhood. Rafa slowed at the next street and glanced at the sign. Hari. And her tourist hand comp told her she would find nothing scenic if she kept going the same way. Just sore legs on the way back. She glanced around and finally shrugged to herself. She might as well go back to the hotel, see if any messages had come in from the Institute about the pharmaceutical samples she'd turned in.
These were not manufactured here. They were manufactured in modern equipment, using a process similar to, but not identical to, the one we developed. Now I can show you. Here.
Rafa stared at the squiggly lines and wished she had paid more attention to chemistry.
They've used an alternate synthetic route, which we don't like because it produces more waste. In addition, the isotope fraction suggests that the raw materials came from a source we don't use. Now, although we do have one old sample that parallels it from a mine in your territory, do you know the Patchcock system?
Not except for that mess when there was a war or something.
She realized that didn't sound very intelligent, but after all, she hadn't been old enough to pay much attention.
Well, before that, we used to import a little from one of the planets there, and we still have reference samples. It's not definitive by any means, but the Patchcock system could be a source of the raw materials. Now, I do know that there's a sizable pharmaceutical industry on Patchcock itself. The Morallines, I believe, are major investors.
Rafa wondered if those were the same Morallines whose daughter Otala had been such a pain at school. She and Brun had never liked Otala that much. Well, to be honest, at all. But she supposed she could look Otala up when she got back to Familia space.
And the drugs themselves, are they complying with your standards?
Aside from the fact that they're breaking the licensing agreement by using an alternate process, those in the first sample submitted do meet our standards. The second sample, however, is subtly different. Do you read chromatographs?
No, I'm sorry.
Never mind. I'll give you the complete analysis and references, of course. It's important for your neurologist to have this and understand the effects. In essence, the changes in the ring structures, the substitutions, are going to affect the quality of the rejuvenation, and this degradation will accumulate with repeated rejuvenations. Now, it's not as bad as the old method, and it should be reversible, but if your specialists have noticed some deterioration in memory and cognitive ability in some patients, this may explain it.
I know there's concern.
Frankly, I'm not surprised. It's possible that this is merely sloppy quality control in manufacturing. If, for instance, the reaction in the 14th step is poisoned, it's possible for that ring substitution to occur. But you must also consider industrial sabotage. Either a deliberate intent to adulterate the drugs to manipulate someone, or deliberate carelessness with the intent to maximize profits. Especially with the alternate process being used, it would be expensive to maintain the kind of quality we demand. The biologicals used to clean up the unreacted substrate can be difficult to extract.
This was all gobbledygook to Rafa, except the part about sabotage and profit margins. She could see possibilities either way, and so, she was sure, could Lord Thornbuckle. She dug out the authorization card Lord Thornbuckle had given her.
I think this is too important to depend on one messenger. Here's the account number.
Chemtree, Lord Altman, the former king of the Familius Regnant, limped slightly. His legs ached. He had walked more kilometers in the past week than in the year before. The Neurosciences Institute had refused to give him his son's address, had said they would not violate the privacy of their patients. When he tried to insist that he was their father, he had rights, they pointed out that under his law, the clones had no legal identity at all.
Here, they are eligible for full citizenship. The biological relationship is irrelevant, especially for clones derived not from division in the embryo, but from tissue culture of an older individual. To the extent that these persons have a parent, it is the donor individual, their prime, as they called him.
But I was his father, too!
And how many biological children did you father?
3 boys.
And what happened to them?
They're dead.
All 3. Somehow that doesn't recommend you as a father.
He wanted to say it's not my fault, but he knew the other man thought it was.
What we will do is send word to the young men that you are here and want to contact them. It is then their decision whether or not to seek you out.
But that's not fair. What am I supposed to do if they won't see me?
Go back to the Familias.
I can't do that. I must see them. If only I could talk to them. I'm sure I can make them understand.
The other man's frown told him he had gone too far.
I rather doubt that. You haven't convinced me. We will do as I said. Tell them you are here and let them decide. They are adults under our law. They've applied for full citizenship. They have the legal right to decide for themselves. And I should warn you that you have no legal right to harass them.
He could hardly harass them when he couldn't find them. He knew their alias, at least the one they had been given, and he had started with the Smiths in the city directory. The name was not so common here as in the Familius, but it was common enough. He had met Smiths who were bankers, who were attorneys, who worked in the city's utility repair division, who were midwives and machinists. At least half of them were clones. He learned quickly not to explain his search. None would help him, not even to eliminate their clone sibs from the pattern. At this rate, it would take him years to find all the Smiths on this single planet.